And as you find your place, you can turn with us in your Bibles to Revelation chapter number 12. Revelation chapter 12, and we'll be there momentarily. As you're turning and finding your place, I want you to also, if you could, imagine a courtroom. But not just any courtroom, a courtroom in heaven. But instead of a fair trial, the accuser who is accusing you stands ready to condemn you night and day. Your every mistake, your every failure, your every weakness, and night and day, he brings it up every single day. Every single minute of every single hour, every single second of every single hour. But just when it seems hopeless, you've been through it and you hear the accuser accuse you and accuse you and accuse you. And just the moment you resign yourself to the fact that all you will ever be is accused, all that will ever be is every fault, every failure, every mistake, every weakness brought to light, brought to bear. All of a sudden, a voice thunders from heaven. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And what we're going to read here in Revelation chapter 12 is not just a vision. No, rather, it is a vision or a victory, manual for the Christian. A victory manual for the believer. Revelation chapter 12 is a picture of a coming cosmic conflict. But more than that, it's the reality behind your everyday spiritual battles. Every day that you live, every day that you wake up, every day that you set 2 feet on the floor to get up and start your day, you are getting yourself prepared to once again do spiritual battle with a very real enemy. But here's the good news. That war has already been won. Your victory is not in your own strength. The victory is not in what you can do. The victory is in what has already been done. The victory is in what has already been accomplished. And the strength is found in the blood of the Lamb, the word of your testimony, and a life that is surrendered to him. And so we're here in Revelation chapter 12 this morning. And Revelation chapter 12 is a prophetic chapter of Scripture that gives us a symbolic view of the conflict between good and evil throughout history. And so here's the breakdown quickly. Verses 1 and 2, you have a woman. She's clothed with the sun, symbolic of Israel. And she's with a child. Verses 3 and 4, you see the great red dragon. That represents Satan. And he stands ready to devour the child. Verse 5, the child is a symbol of Jesus Christ and is caught up to God. And then in verse 6, the woman flees into the wilderness, representing God's preservation of his people. Verses 7 through 9, you have a war in heaven where Satan is defeated and cast down. And then verses 10 and 11, you have a shout of triumph. The saints declare how they overcame the enemy. And so for our purposes this morning, we want to focus in on verse number 9 down through verse number 11. Or rather, let's begin at verse number 7 down through verse number 12. Revelation chapter 12, beginning at verse number 7 down through verse number 12. The Bible says, "And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time." For a few moments this morning, I'd like to preach us on this thought, the winning side. The winning side. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we thank you for this day. And Lord, we thank you for your love and your mercy. And now, Lord, for this time, we get to come and gather in your house on a Sunday morning to sing your praises and open your word, to see a truth that might help us and challenge us and encourage us to be the church and the Christian who'd have us to be. And Lord, this morning, if there be one here that know not Christ as their Savior, they don't know that heaven's their home, that their sins have been forgiven, we pray that they not leave this church without getting that settled, 100% sure that Christ is their Savior and that heaven's their home. And Lord, now for all that you'll do, we'll be careful to give you the praise, the honor, the glory. Speak to our hearts this morning is our prayer. Meet with those here that need to hear from you. And for all that you'll do, we'll be careful to give you the praise, the honor, the glory. We love you now and need you, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so here in Revelation chapter 12, I want to give us, if we could, the threefold victory strategy. A threefold victory strategy. Number one, the power of the blood. The power of the blood. Notice there, if you would, verse number 11. "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb." We need to realize something this morning. You notice there, verse number 10, second part of verse number 10, "For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." You need to know this morning that as a Christian, Satan is the accuser. He tries to bring up your past. He tries to bring up your sin. He tries to bring up your shame. He tries to bring up your faults. He tries to bring up your failures, your mistakes. Everywhere you've had a shortcoming, Satan tries to bring those up. But every time he opens his mouth, the blood of Jesus cries louder, paid in full. Hebrews 9:22, the Bible says, "Without shedding of blood is no remission." 1 John 1:7, the Bible says, "The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Satan will take every opportunity he gets to drag you down, to chew you up, and spit you out. But thankfully, we have something that has gotten the victory over Satan. We have someone who has gotten the victory over Satan. You know, I like procedural shows, Law and Order, things like that. At one time in life, I thought I was going to be a lawyer. And you know, I got thinking this week, picturing Satan as a prosecuting attorney. And he's throwing every charge against you that he can possibly think of. Every charge he can possibly think of to throw against you just to see what will stick. But then Jesus stands up, not to argue your innocence, because by the way, we're not innocent. We are guilty as charged. We deserve nothing apart from hell itself. But then Jesus stands up and he says, "My blood has covered this person. My blood has covered these sins." Case dismissed. And that's what happens when Satan tries to accuse us. And so we see the power of the blood. But then secondly, we see the power of the testimony. Notice the second part of verse number 11. "And by the word of their testimony." And by the word of their testimony. You know, this morning, your testimony is more than just a story. It's a weapon. Because when you speak about what God has done in your life, guess what? You not only remind yourself of His faithfulness, but you also silence the enemy of his lies. You know, we all, I believe, at one time or another, one point or another in life, in the Christian life, we deal with doubts. Am I really saved? Am I really a Christian? If I was really a Christian, would I be doing this? Would I be acting this way? Would I be talking this way? Would I be doing this or going here or whatever the case may be? Shouldn't I be further along? And we just fill our minds with doubt. I'm here to tell you this morning, that's Satan. That's the accuser of the brethren. And we need to not give in to his lies. Romans 10:17, the Bible says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Listen, the only way you're ever going to change is by hearing the word of God. And then we saw it in Sunday school this morning, as you hear the word of God, you do the word of God, and the word of God will change you. It will transform you. And all of a sudden, you won't be the same person you used to be. You won't talk the way you used to talk. You won't go the places you used to go. There will be a difference in your life, and you won't need Satan in the back of your ear saying, "Oh, if you were really a Christian, you'd be further along. Oh, if you were a Christian, you'd be so much better of a Christian." No, because, again, sanctification, it is a process. You know, think of that courtroom again. Your testimony is your eyewitness account. It's hard to argue with a changed life. Look, if you would, John chapter 9. Keep your finger in Revelation. We'll be back. Gospel of John chapter 9. Of course, this is the account of the man born blind and his healing. Gospel of John chapter number 9. And verse number 1. And I always love the first few words of verses like this. "And as Jesus passed by." And as Jesus passed by. You know, perhaps you're here this morning and you're in a place in life where you just feel like there's no hope that is left. I'm telling you that this morning, if you'll take note of when Jesus passes by, He can change your life if you will let Him. "But and as Jesus passed by, He saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin? This man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed, and came seeing. The neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened? And here's the key. He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus. Made clay, and anointed mine eyes, and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. The blind man basically said, they asked, Well, how was this accomplished? And the blind man said, just in layman's terms, Well, I don't know much, but one thing I know is that I was blind, and then when I met Jesus, now I can see. And listen, the devil can't refute that. And listen, this morning, if you have a life that has been changed by Jesus, the devil can't challenge that. The devil can come and say, Well, look at what they did 5 years ago, 10 years ago, but are they covered by the blood of the Lamb? Do they have a testimony of what God has done for them? We see the power of the testimony. And then thirdly and finally this morning, back there in Revelation chapter 12, we see the power of the blood. We see the power of the testimony. And then thirdly and finally this morning, we see the power of surrender. We see the power of surrender. Notice there, if you would, again, verse number 11, the last part of it. And they loved not their lives unto the death. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Victory this morning doesn't come from self-preservation, but from self-denial. The early church conquered not with swords, but with surrender. They were willing to die because they knew that their eternal life was secure. And listen, when you know your eternal life is secure, there's nothing that can harm you. Nothing that can change that. Years ago, there was a story told. There was an old preacher by the name of Dr. James Earls. And I forget the entire story, but he was from a rather rough part of the city he lived in. And he was known for his puppetry. He would use puppets in his ministry. And he was out one day, and this man tried to rob him, tried to hold him up. And I guess the robber told him, you know, give me everything you have or I'm going to kill you, or something to that effect. And Dr. Earls looked at him and said, you can't threaten me with heaven. And obviously he still gave up, you know, his possessions and things like that. But, you know, you could be staring down the face of a gun. But if you're saved, if you're a Christian, I mean, you can't be threatened with heaven. You'll be in a much better place than you ever were. Matthew 16:25, the Bible says, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it." Galatians 2:20, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but the power of Christ liveth in me." There was an early church martyr by the name of Polycarp. And Polycarp was told to deny Christ or be burned alive. And he replied this. He said, 86 years have I served him, and he has done me no wrong. How can I blaspheme my King who saved me?" I want you to know this morning, that kind of surrender defeats the enemy every single time. Now, we go throughout our day and our week and our month and our years. And I promise you, the older you get, the more you see the goodness and faithfulness of God in your life. And here this morning in Revelation chapter 12, the saints didn't overcome because they were strong. No, rather they overcame because they were covered by the blood of the Lamb. They were rooted in the Word of God, and they were dead to this world. The dragon, Satan, he may rage. The accuser may speak. The battles may be fierce. But you're not fighting for victory because you already have the victory. You're fighting from victory. And you plus God equals the majority. So the next time the accuser accuses you and he says, "Hey, remember your past," remind him of your redemption and remind him of his future, because then he'll realize he has no power over you whatsoever, because the power comes through the blood, a testimony, and surrender to the one who gave his life for us. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning. Let's stand together at our feet.